The key to winning big is using every little bit of knowledge to your advantage. At Odds Checker, we give you the edge. Better odds, better picks, and better offers to make you a better bettor. Why settle for less? Quickly compare the odds at every sportsbook to ensure that you're getting the best price to maximize your return. Visit us at www.oddschecker.com/US. Odds Checker. Sports betting smarter.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's December 20th, 2019. You're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We're mixing things up today, buddy, like a good poker player.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, it's the holiday season, and what can I say? We're all in misery, Audrey. And in addition to the dearth of news that comes, as we whined about on last week's show, also our listeners are busy out, I don't know, buying gifts or making woman yelling at cat memes or something. So we'll mix it up a little bit here and give you a little holiday treat of the double shot of hands of the week this week, and maybe even next week. We'll see what happens next week.
Probably next week, because I already told O'Malley take 2 weeks off. So
yeah, in a couple weeks we'll be back with our normal show with lots of stuff, because we'll have it all stored up, right? So, but before we get into our hands of the week here, I just want to mention that a couple of our restock the shelves rooms that participating in our food bank initiative this year with Blue Shark Optics have already started collecting food, even though it's technically January when we do this. First of all, Pearl River Resort in Mississippi, where from now through January 31st, you'll get 1,000 bonus chips in any tournament for donating a food item. And you'll also get a raffle ticket for prizes for every food item donated for a drawing that will be on January 31st. And at Windy City Poker Championship, food items will be collected on December 22nd and every January event at Wiley's Grill in Flossmoor. Go to anteupmagazine.com/restock for more details on all events. And another thing that we want to do that's kind of cool this year, I hope, at least, is in the past we've had a couple, had a home game kind of things, not official poker venues, right?
Right.
We've said, hey, we collected some food, and we just want to be a part of the restock. So, you know, this year I just put it out there for any of our listeners out there, if you have any home games coming up end of this month or January and you want to participate in restock, please do. Please collect some food. Find a food bank in your hometown to donate it to. And if you want to snap a photo of all that great food you guys collected at your home game and email it to us at editor@anteupmagazine.com, we'll include you in the recap and include especially the totals. So it's been a real fun thing for us to do over the last couple of years. And so anything we can do to get more food in the bellies of people that need it is a good thing, right?
Boy, we're really mixing it up now. We're even using editor instead of podcast at AnteUpMagazine.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's true. I'm sorry. Wow. Podcast at AnteUpMagazine.com will work, too. All goes to the same place.
See, just when you thought I was going to check raise with that set, I just came out betting right away and telling you, you have no idea what we're doing.
What can you say? I didn't get back until after midnight last night, so working on zero sleep today.
So. He forgot about the show, too, by the way, AnteUp Nation. He forgot about you today, so I did. Just so you know.
Can't even come up with an excuse.
Ante Up is your poker magazine, dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news, and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
Good friend Vic G, and Vic, we love you out there, even if Chris makes fun of you from time to time, and I make fun of Chris for making fun of you from time to time. But you've sent us thousands of hands over the years. We've gone through probably 900 of them on the show, but we still have 100 left. So we're going to go through and knock out two of your more recent ones you sent us today, because they're always interesting, right? And he's always got so much detail in them. So.
Yep.
All right, here's the first one. He says, I'm playing 1-2 no-limit hold'em at my local Florida poker room. It's midweek and midday, so there are a lot of players that I haven't played with before, many of which turn out to be local small business owners and farmers. Wow.
Okay.
First floor? After putting my name on the wait list, the seat finally opens up. I buy in for the maximum of 400 and am seated to the right of the big stack. We'll call him Steve. I wait until the button passes before taking my first hand. After watching the action for a couple of orbits and shrinking our stack by 80 bucks, we get involved in our first big hand. Steve has been fairly active, likes to put on the $5 straddle, and has shown a lot of gamble. We're both in the blinds as the action moves around the table. There are several limpers. The button limps, and before we can act, Steve raises the $12 out of turn.
Hmm.
Dealer points out that action is on us. I'm assuming we're in small blind, right?
Yeah.
And we look down to the nine of spades, nine of diamonds. Now, he says if we call the extra dollar, Steve's raise is binding, but if we incorrectly call his $12 raise or put in a raise of our own, his $12 can be taken back. So what's our move?
It's interesting because I don't know. I assume I would probably have played this for a raise without knowing that. But now knowing it, will his raise... This is the thing. He doesn't know a lot of these players right now. So will his raise, his straddler guy, clear out the field and we'll be heads up? We're still going to be out of position with him. So if we raise, is it going to make it look like, you know, okay, well, this guy was just going to raise because he was, you know, he was a guy who likes to have action. You know, he straddles normally and stuff. So, or do we just call and then let him raise and then see if it clears the field and then we just call the 12 and then, or we could repop it after that. There's a lot of ways you could go with it, but if you don't know this player well enough, it's tough. You know, he seemed anxious to raise. So a lot of times that's a big hand. It seems that way to me from the way you're reading it and what it sounds like. So I don't know. Maybe I just call and set mine if he makes it 12, and his 12 will be binding, and then we set mine with the 9s because it's not really a huge hand. It's a middling pair. So
yeah, and we're out of position, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Entire
hand. And also, Steve, as he's been described, has been fairly active. So I would expect that this raise is not the last dollar he intends to put in this pot, right? So
yeah.
He's definitely probably going to c-bet on the flop. I would rather have him kind of lead this hand, and obviously if we flop our 9, that's beautiful. If it doesn't, or if it's all unders, maybe we still feel pretty good, or if it's all overs at that point, then, you know, that we can get out. So I don't think I want to poke the bear here right now. So, and one of the things you like with the 9s, I mean, it depends. If you've tried to set mine, like, you want more people in, right? So you have more people you can make money off of. At the same time, if you were trying to win the hand with 9s, you want the field to be cleared out. So we obviously know that his raise is going to happen unless we raise. So there's going to be a raise one way or the other, right?
Right.
So at this point, I think it's not so much the set mining is that hoping that this $12 raise clears the field and maybe we end up heads up with this guy or three-handed and then have some opportunities to outplay them even with our 9s. So I'm just going to chuck the buck in and let Steve's raise be binding and then see what happens to the rest of the field here.
Okay. That's what I agree with that.
All right. Vic says, if we're going to play this hand, we're tossing in the extra dollar to make the call. Steve's $12 raise is now binding. Only the hijack calls, and the action is back on us. And we'll call the hijack Matt. He said, we don't know Matt, but we've seen him come into a few pots with hands as weak as unsuited one-gappers to just play a pot with Steve. And what's our move now?
Again, we're just set mining, I think. I don't see how it changes it. It's exactly what we were hoping for, was get in for the minimum. Especially with somebody else in the hand now. Now if we pop it and this other guy actually has a legit hand, like I said, he seemed anxious, then he's going to repop it and then we're already down, what, 80 at this table. Now we're just going to waste money making it 50 or 60 to go and then watch this guy pop it to, you know, 300 or something or put us all in. So I think I'm just going to be happy with the extra $10 I have to call and hope we flop either all unders and gauge how they're doing or flop a set and check, you know, I will see. But I'm not going to call any more than, I'm not going to do anything more than call, I mean.
Yeah, I think there's only one scenario here where we were super good, and that's if Steve was just, you know, trying to pick up the blinds there and doesn't have much of a hand, and that this Matt guy is just sticking around because he likes to play pots with Steve.
Right.
In that case, we might actually have the best hand here right now, but otherwise, I think we're asking for a lot for those two things to be happening here. So somebody here has something, and it's probably better than our 9s. So, so I don't want to get too crazy here and have to be out of position and drive this hand the rest of the way with 9s. So just going to call and see what happens.
I feel like Matt Matt doesn't have anything other than like a suited ace or something. He's just trying to flop big here. Otherwise, he would have bet already. So I feel like this guy is just, he's like, you know, I'm going to be in position on these people now. And I've got these suited connectors or whatever it is, suited ace. Or maybe he's got a smaller pair like us. I don't think he's got anything. It could be Steve, but I don't think it's Matt.
All right. Vic says, we're going to be first to act, so we decided to put in a raise. He says, isn't this player's attention all along when he just calls after a player raises at a turn? We make it 45 to go. Steve calls, but Matt folds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you were probably right there. He was just trying to play a hand with Steve and doesn't want to play with us. Not for 45 bucks, at least.
Right.
All right, 105 in the pot. The flop is the tray of hearts, four of diamonds, five of hearts. And Vic says we're happy with our overpair, but this is a wet board, especially since we've seen Steve raise preflop with a questionable range of hands. It's heads up, and we're first to act. What's the move?
Well, I mean, given the way Vic's played it, now I think we have to bet.
Yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous to not bet now. Had we played it the other way, you know, if he had Steve had ace-king or something, we would be shocking him with an overpair here and could maybe sort of just check and see what he bets and then whatever. But now I think we have to bet. So it's pretty wet board, so I got no problem betting. So there's like 90, 100 in the pot. So
105. 105.
Yeah, 105. So I have no problem betting. I mean, it sucks now. We're going to have to bet. So I don't know, 60 to 75, something like that. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'd say at least 50, at least half the pot. But yeah, 60 is probably the right bet. 70 if you really want to put a little bit more in. You know, again, it's tough now because he just called that raise, right? So
yeah.
If he had something bigger than that, I would think he'd probably raise. But there are a couple of hands that are better than ours that he might be scared of. You know, he could have tens or jacks and also make that call there too. So, but yeah, we obviously have taken the lead. He didn't raise us, so we got to bet. And it's got to be at least half the pot. So
the other thing too is that preflop, once we made it 45, if he makes it 130 to go, his hand is basically face up. So maybe that's me being a little creative here and just calling with, you know, with something better than than nines, but who knows.
All right. Vic says we're going to keep up the pressure and make it 65 bucks. Steve insta-calls.
All right.
Pot now bloated to 235. We see a turn of the five of clubs. Our board now is tray of hearts, four of diamonds, five of hearts. Five of clubs, pairing the top card on the board. Do we maintain the lead in the hand or check for a little pot control? What's the move?
I like checking for pot control, but if the guy shoves, then I got a problem. So, I mean, I don't know. We have an over pair. If we don't believe this guy has a made hand and we think he's now just going to float us to try to steal it away, then I want to bet. But I'm always a proponent of pot control when I don't have a lot of chips in front of me and the pot's already huge. So, I don't know, probably check. But it's scary because this guy has been active and he's a little, you know, he's a straddler. He's the type of guy that's real aggressive too. And if he just makes a huge bet now, we've got to be put to a decision. And I hate being put to a decision. I'd rather put them to a decision. So, I guess I'm going to check, but I'm going to hate it.
Yeah, well, I think this is the problem with us taking control of the hand back when we did is now we're in this tough spot now where we have to decide whether we kind of, you know, we call it check for a little pot control, but you mentioned that, you know, now it opens up the chance of somebody to shove on us and push us off this hand. Or bet into a better hand that's kind of walking the dog with us. So, again, that's why you don't like to be out of position, right? So,
right.
Vic likes this spot, so I'll be really interested to see what he decides to do here. I think at this point I can't stop. So maybe my bet's a little less than half the pot because the pot's so big now. So maybe $100, but again, this is not how I would play it. And of course, as we always mention, Vic is better than us, so we'll see what happens.
Well, let me ask you something too. So we started the hand with 320, right?
Yep.
We made it 45 on the first street before we flop, I mean, and then we made it. So we've already bet 110 of our 320, so we only have, you know, basically 210 left. If you're thinking about betting 100 or so, that's half your stack, so then wouldn't you just shove it anyway? Just curious.
Well, yeah, you're actually a good point, yeah.
And then that seems like such a big bet, you know, with this already. I don't know. Any kind of bet here feels like if it's really weak, he's going to shove on us anyway. if he thinks he can push us.
Yeah,
around.
Actually, that's a very good point. So at this point, maybe we check, and if he shoves, we're still going to call, right? So, but probably. maybe we're not the ones that put that money in ahead of time. Yeah. A lot of things working against us here, right?
Yeah, this is just this is why I hate being out of position.
Well, in that scenario, then I think it's really more of a coin flip. Now that you reminded me of the pot size, you know, I mean, obviously, generally, you want to be the aggressor and not the caller. So if you want to bet, then yeah, you shove here and hope it's good. And if not, you check, and then if he may not shove, you know, he may check behind too.
Yeah.
I guess that's more of the. That makes that side of the coin a little more attractive, I guess. But all right. Well, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think there's a bad move now. We're down to two bad options. So both of them almost equal. So
well, if you take one path, I'll take the other. One of us will be right. So I'm going to check.
All right. I said I was going to bet before, so I'm going to obviously take that one.
All right.
So, all right, Vic says we have 210 left in our stack, which is about a pot size bet. The quick call on the flop oftentimes indicates a draw, so that's our read, and we have to apply the maximum pressure here on the turn. We declare all in and toss in a single chip. Steve calls while our ship is still airborne. Ugh.
Jeez.
With a pot of 655, the dealer peels off the king of clubs, completing a board of tray of hearts, four of diamonds, five of hearts, five of clubs, king of clubs. We table our pocket nines. Steve holds up his card and comments, "How could I have missed all of these outs?"
Oh, wow.
And shows the ace of hearts, eight of hearts. Before mucking, Steve has come to gamble and will tangle again in part two.
Holy cow. So this guy had a heart draw, an overcard, and not only that, but he bet to 12. And wheel draw. And then he bet on out of turn pre-flop with ace eight. Like, it was so great. And then called a $45 raise with ace eight. Oh, wow. And I really thought that Matt probably had a suited ace too, which is probably why he didn't his ace.
yeah.
Holy cow, that's a huge pot for pocket nines. Wow. All right, well, that's cool.
Yeah, GC did miss a lot. So that's pretty crazy. Wow. All right, well, let's see. Sounds like we're going to play against Steven hand number two this week, so let's see how it goes.
Okay.
So
we have a huge, we have what, six? Like 650.
Well, yeah, but
now,
I don't know where this happens in the rest of the session.
Oh,
I don't
know
if it's in the next hand. So.
All right.
Let's see. All right. So Vic says we doubled up off of Steve earlier. I have 650, and Steve is now on one of his upswings and has me covered.
Wow.
Steve has been fairly active. As you mentioned, likes to put on the $5 straddle and show a lot of gamble. He's under the gun and tosses on the $5 chip before the cards are dealt to indicate another straddle. This isn't the first time he's straddled our big blind. We see four other players tossing a red bird to call, a mix of rocks, and players looking to mix it up with Steve. After the small blind folds, we look down the big blind at the ace of spades, ten of spades.
So if this guy tends to raise his straddle automatically, it might be worth a call, and then when it comes back around, you know, give it a pop, because this is, it's obviously the Cosenza, so I'm partial to it. Obviously, I hate it. But it's a pretty good hand in this spot. And if this guy's willing to play ace eight for raise and call raises, then our ace 10 might even be good if this guy's choosing to.
Right.
Why don't you just call and see what happens?
Yeah, I like that as well, too. I think we got a lot of power in this hand. I don't want to tip my hand right now, so. If Steve plays like we think he's going to, I imagine he's going to go ahead and raise here anyhow, right? So
yeah.
Let him be the one to drive some folks out. And then once again, though, we're going to be out of position against him, right? So
yeah, I know.
It'll be fairly interesting.
Should ask for a seat change earlier, Vic. Helped us out here.
All right, Vic says this looks to be a good hand to play against Steve's range, but the four other callers present a problem. Some could be limping with big pocket pairs, hoping a three bet if Steve raises, which he sometimes does, or they can be playing junk, hoping to catch Steve in a huge pot. It's one of those spots where I don't want to let Raghand see a flop, but I also don't want to raise only to be dominated by Big Slick or to see Steve take his option and put in a big raise of his own and blow me off the hand. I have a suited Cosenza. What's the move? It says, we decide to just limp our big blind and see what Steve does.
Yeah.
If he raises and thins the field for us, we'll three bet to try to get heads up with him. With five players all calling Steve straddle, he lets off the gas and taps the table. Ooh, interesting.
Okay.
The $24 in the pot after the rake. The flop is the Jack of Diamonds, Ten of Hearts, Trey of Spades. And we're first to act in the six-handed pot with middle pair, top kicker, and a few backdoor runouts. What's the move?
I don't think that I don't think our tens are good. I feel like we've had this hand before, even though it's not Vix. I'm just like, on the show, I feel like this hand has come up before where, you know, we have all these people in the hand, and we have middle pair, and it doesn't feel like, it feels like anybody who limps will have a hand that's better than tens right now, you know, because they'll have jack 10, they'll have king jack, queen jack, ace jack, they'll have queen queen, hoping that the straddler was going to pop it and didn't, you know. I just feel like we're not ahead here, so begrudgingly, I want to check. I seem like I'm awful weak today. I'm checking a lot, but I feel like that we're ahead. We're not ahead anywhere, so I'm gonna check.
Yeah, this is another tough spot to be in. I think you're right that it is very likely that there's six people in this pot that somebody has a jack at least, if not something better. But we also have a middle pair here, and so I'm not inclined to fold to unless it gets too hot and heavy. But leading out here, I think just opens us up to being raised either by Steve, just being Steve, right?
Yeah.
Or some player with a jack or a better hand. Or, as he mentioned, there are some people trying to – this is the type of player that attracts people who like to lay in the weeds and come alive, right? So we really don't have a good sense of where people are. Like we would normally we would do with a six-handed limped around pot. So there's just a lot of danger out there. And so I think I'm going to check here too and try to pick up some information on where we are.
Okay, that's good.
All right. Vic says, we have no idea where we are in this hand. And being first to act, we're going to let the remaining five players give us an indication. We check. Steve is next to act and bets $17. Only Matt in the cutoff call. So Matt's back. Yeah. We get a little bit more information on him. He says he's a guy that likes to play pots with Steve oftentimes, weak holdings. After his call, he has just less than $100 remaining, and action is back on us.
Well, I like a call here, and the reason being is that we can also now pick up, say, a third 10, aces up, or another spade to give us even more outs on the river. So I don't want to just go crazy now and bet. That doesn't make sense to me. It makes zero sense to bet because we are could still be behind. We have another player in the hand. If we was just Steve and we thought, hey, you know, he's just following through with trying to take up, you know, an easy pot here or something or whatever because he's so crazy, then that's one thing. But we have Steve and Matt in this hand. So I don't mind a call here. I don't mind a call at all.
No, I think you're right. You know, we have there's a good possibility that both these players are weaker than us, but there's also an equal possibility that one of them at least is slightly better than us right now.
Right.
And we have a lot of ways to improve, as you mentioned. So let's make this call and see what happens. So, all right. Vic says he makes the weak call. He says, I still think we're ahead of Steve, as he likely would have raised pre-flop with a hand like ace-jack. But since he checked his straddle, he could have any two cards now. Matt could be slow playing a monster, have an underpair, or possibly be floating with intentions of stealing the pot on later streets. I have no idea. A check raise in the neighborhood of two-thirds of the pot to $67. Might give me the information I need, but I don't like being out of position if they call, so I just make the call and we're off to see a turn.
Okay.
The pot is $75. A dealer turns a nine of spades, making the board jack of diamonds, ten of hearts, tray of spades, nine of spades. So we pick up the nut flush draw, but there's a three card straight on the board too. Action is on us. What's the move?
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, now you come alive unless you know for sure they don't have, say, king queen, which they probably would have raised with, or queen eight, which is, you know, what he could have in a straddle. I don't know. I mean, it's nice that it's under our 10, but I don't think it changes anything as far as their holdings.
Right.
And if we're still cautious about that, then, you know, we've picked up a draw. So I don't mind calling a bet here and being a little weak just because I don't think anything's changed. What Vic said earlier, that if we're going to open up the betting to have these guys go crazy, you don't have to have ace jack. To have, you know what I mean? He was saying earlier he would have raised with ace jack, but any jack beats our 10. It doesn't matter what jack it is. So
Right.
You know, I just don't like betting out here now and again being raised off my hand when I have a nut flush draw. So if I check and they bet like 50, I got no problem calling 50, especially since I've got a pretty decent stack in front of me. And then now I've got two pair, you know, aces up, three of a kind, or a nut flush that could come with just a mere $50 call. And it probably a flush would be disguised because at that point, you know, they wouldn't have put you on two spades early on. They figure you probably have a pair of this and that's it, or a piece of it. So I don't mind just checking and calling a decent bet.
Yeah, let's be honest. These two players like to play against each other, right? So we're just along for the ride here, and we're here to pick up the pieces when they both screw up. So I don't want to poke the bear here. We picked up that very important spade draw, which helps. The nine, obviously, unless it completed that king, queen, straight, is not that big of a deal. So I'm going to check. Steve is probably going to bet. We'll see what Matt does. But I kind of like where we're sitting right now. I just don't like poking the bear. So I'm gonna check here. All right. Vic says that we contemplate betting out, but don't want to be raised off our draw, so we opt to check. Steve maintains the lead and makes it $45 this time. Matt thinks about it for a while before sliding his remaining stack forward. Dealer counts it down, and it's now $92 to us.
Yeah, I'm going to call. I was talking about calling 50 earlier. Now I've got an extra person in it to make it even more worth trying to hit this flush or two pair or whatever. So, yeah, I'm going to call. Seems pretty straightforward to me. I'm sure when I think that Vic goes crazy and raises, but to me, I think it's straightforward now.
Yeah, I think the only worry is if now Steve raises a bunch after that. I'm happy calling this 92 and seeing this river with our flush draw and our second pair, but he's got us covered, right? So if he wants us out of this pot, he's going to have to raise, or he likely will raise, and that's when it gets a little dangerous for me, I guess. But
yeah.
But you know, we start with 650 here. You got to use those chips at some point. So yeah, I'm going to call too. So. All right, Vic says, ugh, why couldn't Steve have bet a few dollars more or Matt have a few dollars less? Matt's all-in of $92 reopens the betting. If I call and Steve has two pair or better, he's going to three-bet me off my draw. I lament while looking at the bloated pot and all of Steve's chips, which could be mine, and reluctantly fold.
Wow.
Well, you know, again, that's what I was mentioning, that I was a little worried about, you know, we have to be worried about whether Steve raises there or not, because I don't think, I mean, I don't know, tell me if you're wrong, but if he puts any kind of significant raise in there, are we continuing against both of them with middle pair or second pair and a flush draw?
Yeah, I don't know.
If we are, then that it doesn't change anything, but that is a little probably too rich for my blood with this particular holding, so... Now, obviously, Vic much of the play with Steve enough to know that he figured the odds of him raising there were significant enough that he didn't want to waste $92 to find out.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I was forgetting that it was 92. I was thinking we just calling the 45. I forgot it was 92. So if it's straight 92 to us, then, yeah, I probably would fold. I was thinking it was 45. I forgot that it was the 92 raise. So, yeah. So let's, yeah, I'll agree with Vic and fold.
All right, Vic says Steve calls and the dealer completes the board with a bittersweet eight of spades.
Ugh.
Matt tables his hand first, complaining that he didn't need the eight and shows 8-7 for the turn straight. Steve tables king queen for the higher straight. He tells Steve that I had the nut flush draw, but if I called the 92, I thought he might have recognized the 92 all in, reopened the betting since he could originally bet 45. He said he did notice that and would have put me all in had I called. I congratulate him on making the perfect $45 bet. Although he agreed it was unintentional, and pat myself on the back before moving on to the next hand.
What sucks is that if Steve doesn't, or if Matt doesn't shove there, we call probably the 45 and make the nut flush and win a huge pot.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's exactly what I had to do right there. So,
yeah.
Wow, up against two straights, and then we would have rivered the flush.
The
wow.
Nuts, yeah. Brutal.
Kind of pots you dream about.
Instead, it becomes a nightmare. All right, so this is an interesting week. Don't forget, you know, participate in our Restock the Shelves, and next week we'll probably do something very similar to this. I mean, there's some news items we might be able to throw in, but, you know, it's the holiday week. You know, it's the holiday season, and everyone's taking a break. So, all right, I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables.
Anti-Up is a production of AntiUp Magazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@antiupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 206-338-6344. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@antiupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.